हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैतगराधर शिव सरिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे जय सो नाउ वी आर डूइंग द फाइट ऑफ जरासंध They've already fought for one day, and as the day ended, the sunset came, then they go back to their place, they have their bath, they refresh themselves, and then Jarasandha will invite them as his guests. You know, so the whole, when you have the advantage of when it's about performance of duties, then you have the element that you're doing what you're supposed to. It's not like this modern thing is, oh, I got on my being serious cap so I can say anything I want, and even if you get offended, it doesn't matter because I'm wearing this cap. Then I'll take that off after you've been offended, and then I'll put on the friend cap, and now we can just be friends, and you'll just completely forget what I did. It's not like that. This is that you have duties, and these are, you know, ordained kind of what is the appropriate thing for someone in that position. Like if you're the leader of the country, then there's certain things you're expected to do. Then if you're a citizen, you do this. You know, if you're a teacher, you do like this. If you're a business person, you do like this. So then within that, naturally there'll be competition and all that, but then it is just within the duties. It doesn't have to be personal. That's the whole point. But at the same time, as you see, is the Vedic system doesn't have the problem inherently of being impersonal. Even though it's duties, it's not that you don't care. So the personal relationships are the actual ultimate position in the Vedic culture, because you're trying to reawaken your lost relationship with the Lord. You're trying to establish that, so the ultimate relationship. So that means then you're going to establish relationships, the friendship with all other living entities. That's why in the spiritual world they have that dynamic friendship. In the material world there's that sense of compassion, friendship, and indifference towards those who aren't interested in spiritual life. And so then those make the whole thing very dynamic. Since it is personally based, it's about the relationship with the Supreme Person, everything's personal. So the duties are just what it is you're doing here, but the real thing is the relationship with the Lord, the relationship with the devotees. That's the actual main element. So it's a very, very, you know, it's a perfect balance. Because otherwise, then it's like, I'm doing it because it's my duties and I'm attached to the results, so therefore anybody gets in my way is my enemy. Or it's no, everyone's just doing their duties and all that, but it's not like you see it's connected to developing a relationship with the Lord. It's just, here's the duty, I get paid for that. So therefore I don't care. Like people go to work nowadays, they don't care as long as they get paid, you know, whether they do the work, don't do the work, they really don't care. So here is that, because it's duties based on knowledge, based on trying to elevate and purify yourself, then they're able to move forward very nicely and advance spiritually, even though they're performing their regular duties. Those duties are seen in the context of these are the activities that I'm supposed to be involved in, because of the particular station I'm in this life due to my karma. And so I do these activities. But it doesn't matter which ones they are, because they all connect to the Supreme. Okay, so that was the first day. The next morning, the fight resumed. Again, it continued for the entire day without either fighter gaining an advantage. So they're so equally matched, because they're both the strength of 10,000 elephants. And they both, you know, naturally from having strength, they're going to apply it into that form of martial arts. So, of course, they're going to know the bow and arrow and club and swords and javelins and darts and chakras, all these things. They're going to know everything. You know, how to use the chariot, the horses, how to set up the whole battlefield. But their specialty will be the physical fighting because they're so much stronger than anyone else. So for someone like that, then how often do you find someone who's the same strength? Because at this time, there's only five people that have that strength. So Dhritarashtra, Duryodhana, Jarasandha, Bhima, and Kichika. And that was it. No one else had that kind of strength. Not physical. And as the evening fell, they again returned to the king's palace. The fight went on for 28 days. Bhima began to feel it would never end. It doesn't say Bhima began to get tired. He just thought, this is not going to end because it's so equally matched. There seemed to be no way to overpower Jarasandha. The king, too, felt respect for his opponent. Right? So he has that respect. So when you see, because it's very important in dealings to have respect for who you're dealing with. The individuals, the situation, the elements within the field, or the items, or the paraphernalia. You have to respect it for what it is, because everything is carrying a potency of the Lord, and it can do a particular thing. So if you respect, then you can deal properly. You don't respect, you'll always make mistakes. Jarasandha had never before been equaled in single combat. Right? No one. So Bhima is there, and Bhima's, younger, but still, his prowess is great. But it appeared that the Pandava was invincible. On the 28th day, Krishna considered how Bhima might end the fight. Right? So they had a good run, 28 days, it's Pukka, 3-4 weeks. So we see also in Krishna, we'll see the future when he fights with Jambavan. It's also 28 days. So there's something about 28 days that's a full month. So, you get a good taste there. Since the Rakshasi had joined Jarasandha at birth, Krishna knew that he would be weak along that joint. Right? Because when he was born in two halves, because he was supposed to be born to one mother, but then the father divided the mango that would be for the procreation of the child between two wives. So each gave birth to half a child. Right? So, in this case, that's how it worked out. It doesn't necessarily work like that, but this is how it worked in this case. So if it had been once, he would have been together and strong. He wouldn't have this weekend. But because he's born of two mothers, then they didn't know what to do, so they just put him out in the forest. Then the Rakshasi Jara came. And, because out there they know mystic things. They know this and that. They know mantras and all kinds of stuff. So they may be able to do something with him because they don't know. And so then she came and she just kind of, it was curious because here's half and here's half. What if you put it together? She doesn't know how it ended up a baby is in two halves. So she just put together and, they connected. Because they were supposed to be together. He was supposed to have one son. But it just two mothers gave birth, that's all. Krishna knew he would be weak along that joint. Bhima could tear him in two. When Bhima was able to see him, Krishna picked up a twig and split it right down the middle. Bhima took the hint, right? Because he had explained it before. Otherwise, at the time, he wondered, what is he talking about? But he had already explained it before. He told the story of Jarasandha, so then he understood. Oh, okay, yeah. He was two complete half put together. That means that joint will stick. I mean, he's strong enough. But, if you apply the strength of 10,000 elephants on that joint, then he could rip into two. No one else could do it. They'd have to be as strong as him. Finding an opportunity, he threw Jarasandha to the ground and stood on one of his legs. Right? Because so many times they're throwing to the ground and grappling, then they get up and then keep going. Because they're so equally matched, so they know how to fight, they have the same strength. So neither's an advantage in either strength or technique. So whatever they do, the other one knows how to counter it or anything. So him throwing him on the ground, that's been going. We saw it happen on the first day. But then, nobody wins. It goes into something else, and then they stand up and they start fighting and punching and everything again. He threw, finding opportunity, he threw Jarasandha to the ground and stood on one of his legs, right? So he's thrown him on the ground, stands on one of his legs. He quickly took hold of the other leg and pushed it forward. Right, so he's there, steps on one foot, and then grabs, and then just leans forward. Right, so if you step like on the thigh or something like that, and grab the leg, then you have the leverage. Then you can just you have the thing. You can push all the way across. Because it's even when you're doing how you say, like massage and all that. You have to put yourself in a place where if you're doing the leg, you want to bend the leg, that you're a little forward, and then you can just move with your body. So you're just using a string. You don't have to use your arms. With a tremendous roar, he tore Jarasandha in two. The king died with a scream, and that echoed throughout the entire city. The citizens were shocked by the cry, because, you know, if you have the strength of 10,000 elephants, you can roar also like 10,000 elephants. And they rushed to see what had happened. They found Bhima standing over the two halves of the slain monarch. Right? So it's also is that you had the elephant element that when he tore it in half, he showed that you put him back the opposite. You rip it in half this way, but you put like this. Because otherwise their nature is to go together, because the Rakshasi had put them together, so there may be some mantras and stuff like that, so that would bring them back together. So he ripped them in half, and then he put them on the ground where the halves are opposite, so they can't go together. All the citizens cried out, "Alas!" Krishna Arjuna came forward to embrace Bhima. The three of them went back into the city and ordered Jarasandha's son, Jayatsena, to release the imprisoned kings from the mountain fortress where they were held. Right, because now Jayatsena, remember, he installed him as the king, or at least the Yuvaraj. He's installed to manage the kingdom in case if he dies, you already have a king. The king's not going to just leave it. Because the kings, it's not about being in power, it's about protecting the citizens. To do that, you have to be in power. So that means someone has to be in power. Since Jarasandha is going to be out fighting, then he's not running the kingdom. You see, during the time from morning until evening, that's management time. He's not there. So that means for 4 weeks, he's not doing it. His son's running it. And at the same time, if anything happens to it, king's already there. The people don't have to, oh, who's going to be the king? No politics, this and that. Because you want to avoid the political. You want to just see there's a smooth transition from one administration to the next. So they went to Jayatsena, told him to release the imprisoned kings. Because if they've killed Jarasandha, no one's going to think that, oh, well, no, but we can defeat him, right? The kings came down to the city and offered their respects and worship to Krishna, right? Because they had sent a messenger. And then Krishna had arranged. But he had arranged it so two things got done at once. Why? If he just goes and releases the kings, then, you know, then, yes, he'll defeat him and all that. But then it'll just be over that one thing. But by doing it in connection with Yudhishthira Maharaj, with Arjuna and Bhima, then it becomes known as part of Yudhishthira Maharaj's Rajasuya sacrifice and his conquering the world. So the glory, even though, yes, Krishna took care of it, the Yadus took care of it, but the glory will go to Yudhishthira and the Pandavas. So Indraprastha will become the prominent. Because Dwarka is not trying to be the prominent city. That's just where Krishna lives. And they are transcendentally, and they're more powerful than anyone, but they're not interested in being the rulers of the world, because they're the Moon Dynasty. So the Moon Dynasty always assists the Sun Dynasty. But like Lord Ramachandra, he was emperor of the world. He's Sun Dynasty. And so he has that taste there, and then he has the other taste here, because it's more about interacting with the devotees. As Krishna and the two Pandavas sat within Jarasandha's palace, all of the many thousands of captive kings bowed before them. On behalf of all of them, one king addressed Krishna. Right? Because when you have such a big group, you know what's everybody's feeling and thinking, because you've been, you know, talking and all that. And then whoever's a natural leader, they'll come forth and represent. Otherwise, everyone tries to talk at once. How does everything get said? You can't hear. If one person comes forward and represents everybody, then everybody's sentiments get said. So he said, "My Lord, we can understand that our sufferings at Jarasandha's hands is the result of our own past sinful activities. We can now realize that Jarasandha's humiliation of us was actually providential, for it has forced us to give up our false prestige. We were proud of our strength and positions, and we simply engaged in fighting other kings for supremacy and wealth, thereby causing the death of so many people," right? Because they get too much into this attitude where it's just about the power and that, and wielding this power. So then they're fighting and that, so many people are dying. You know, the soldiers are dying. The soldiers have families and everything like this. So it will disrupt the society. And so they're seeing is that, you know, they were just basically wasting them, their time and the citizens' time. And so by this happening with Jarasandha, then that stopped for them and they got to think about it. And now being saved by Krishna, now they'll see things in the proper light. We are now in a helpless and wretched condition and can only depend upon you. This is our great fortune. Right? Because it's said that someone who is a Kinchana Gochara, they have nothing in the material world, they're actually able to surrender to Krishna. Because as long as you think, I own so much, I have so much facility and all that, the tendency is to be dependent on that, not Krishna. But when one doesn't have that attitude, either by being attached to Krishna, not being interested in the material world, and that way you are a Kinchana Gochara, or just Krishna takes everything away so you have nothing and then you have to surrender like these kings. In either case, it works out that everything's connected to Krishna because you have no material interest or let's say involvement. And so therefore you get involved with Krishna. But you see is that in the junior stage, that may have to happen. Advanced stage, then you can have facility, just like Yudhishthira. He's emperor of the world, he's fully Krishna conscious, no distraction. They're out in the forest with nothing, he's still fully Krishna conscious, no distraction. So for general people, they have the emperorship of the world, then they're going to get proud of that and get distracted, or they lose the whole thing, and then they're going to just be constantly lamenting about how they lost. Well, for Yudhishthira, there's no lamentation, no exultation. He's just, this is his duties. He does these to please Krishna. And then you see the quality of the relationships that are there, because then you can focus on the relationships. If you're so focused on the technique, you're not going to see. It's when the technique is just very natural because of the higher position. Then you see is that you can be absorbed in Krishna. Krishna accepted their worship and arranged for them to be given food and clothing. He then told them to return to their kingdoms and accept Yudhishthira as the world's emperor. Soon the Pandavas will perform the Rajasuya sacrifice and they should all attend. Right, so they got food and clothing. So they would have come out, they would have been bathed and everything, had been fed. And you have tens of thousands of kings. And so then, only someone like Jarasandha could easily take care. He's maintaining them while they're there. So now you just feed them nicely, clothe them nicely and everything. So they have that facility. Jayatsena also agreed to accept Yudhishthira's authority. And after being properly installed by Krishna as the king of Magadha, he arranged transport back to Indraprastha for Krishna and the Pandavas. Right, so he also agreed, because that's the natural thing. If the previous ruler has been defeated, the next ruler would be, because you would establish someone who would. So if Jayatsena accepts, he's the ruler. He's the natural ruler. Why wouldn't he be? But if he's not, he wants to fight, okay, then step outside and Arjuna will take care of things. And if you have elephants, Bhima will take care of that. So he just understands the position like that. So barehanded, they could kill Jarasandha then. No question of anything else being viable for defeating them. So he's there. So now he's been properly installed. In other words, he was established there to take care. So he would be standing in. So if Jarasandha wins, then he just comes back and continues with his management. But if not, then the Brahmins and that and the ministers would then properly install him as king. So that here Krishna and the Pandavas installed him. So that means they're installing him. So they're giving him the authority. And so then he has that allegiance, so that being an ally with Indraprastha. So that would be the standard way it would work. You go to a different kingdom. If there's a war, they're defeated, and then whoever would naturally be, if there's the son or whoever's the natural one to be the king, they would be installed as the king if they're favorable, and if so, now they become subservient to that king, and then they work together. Upon their arrival, Krishna went to Yudhishthira and said, O best of kings, by good fortune, Jarasandha has been killed, and the imprisoned kings freed. Both Bhima and Arjuna are unharmed. Right? So all the things. The Jar's son has been killed because they went for killing Jar's son to free the kings. And at the same time, he'll be worried about Bhima and Arjuna. They're unharmed. So we see in one sentence, he says everything. And so then his mind is at ease. Now you can go and discuss the details. Okay, how did he die? What were the kings? What did they do? You know, what did they say? How did the fighting go? You know, how you were received, how you, you know, just the whole thing, so all the details. So this is a very standard thing in the Vedic approach, is that you're able to say something in a nutshell. Now you can expand on it however much is appropriate. If there's no more time, you've said everything. And if there's more time, you explain more. Like that. Because things like this, 28 days, you know, and that was from, you know, dusk to dawn. I mean, dawn to dusk. So that means basically you have, that's 12 hours a day. So you have that much time you could be talking, you know, about all the details, because the Kshatriyas will know every little detail of what did this and that and so many things. So you give the essence. Otherwise, if he starts to talk, then, okay, well, what about this? What about that? And it, you know, and then you're frustrated. You don't get to tell your story. They're frustrated because they want to know what's going on. And so then, in this way, then it works out. So you just say it. Then you see the situation. Yudhishthira joyfully embraced his two younger brothers and Krishna. By your grace, dear Krishna, anything can be achieved, he said. Indeed, it is only by your power that anyone else can exhibit power. Right, so Bhima's 10,000, strength of 10,000 elephants, that's from Krishna. And also Jarasandha's, so it's only by that. And so that Bhima was successful by Krishna's grace. We are kings and rulers only as long as you permit. Yet although you are the unlimited supreme, devoid of mundane desire and hatred, you still appear as an ordinary human being. Right? Because if relationships is the main thing, then the human form is such the perfect situation for it. Because demigods are going to get carried away by their particular mystic abilities and all those kind of things, their opulence and all that. So relationships might fall into the background. And other species of life, you see, is they have some relationship, but a lot of times they don't function nicely within it. So the human is so perfect, because if it's about a relationship between the Lord and the devotee, then the human form, it's the best position to perform the pastimes from. It means that they're not, Krishna's not human, it's human-like pastimes. So you just follow the formula of that. Just like if you want to play a game, let's say we decide on a particular game, we follow the rules of that, right? So let's say you're with friends and you decide, okay, let's play cricket, right? So you follow the rules of cricket, and those rules become a basis for you and your friends to interact and have some fun. Does that make sense? Another game you take, basketball or chess, or you follow the rules, and it becomes the basis. So the whole point is the human rules give more emphasis to relationship, you know, and effort in that relationship. Well, the others, because they have mystic powers, that where's the effort? They put in the effort, but now in the relationship, they're not sure. Because going out and doing yoga and standing on your toes for, 10,000 years, you're not exactly interacting with anybody. Then you have the power and you come back, you'll interact, but it may be superficial. So here, the whole endeavor and everything is all personal. It's all about that. So that's the point. Krishna smiled and asked Yudhishthira for permission to depart. Yudhishthira then set a date to begin the Rajasuya, and Krishna agreed to return at that time. Right, so they would have checked with the astrologers. They would have said, okay, this is the appropriate time. Because you have to do these kind of things in the Uttarayana, then from that mid-January to mid-June. Or July, that's the time, when the sun is moving towards the north. Then you can also only perform it when it's going from the new moon to the full moon, like that. So that means out of that 6 months, means out of the year, only 6 months can be used. Of the 6 months, you can only use half of that. It means only when the moon is waxing. So that means there's 3 months. And then within that, you have the particular nakshatras and other aspects, the days and all that. Then you can see from that, you just look at what's there, where these things fall, and they go, here's a date. So it's fairly straightforward, the panchang. First, however, the Pandavas would have to subjugate the other monarchs of the earth. Right? So you can't just say day after tomorrow, right? You know, they have to go, it means the whole earth they have to traverse. Having bid farewell to Kunti and Draupadi, Krishna mounted his chariot and headed back to Dwarka. After Krishna had departed, Arjuna said to Yudhishthira, O king, I possess the Gandiva bow and inexhaustible quivers of arrows, as well as the prowess to use them in your service. Right, because remember from the Gandiva forest, he got the Gandiva bow and inexhaustible quiver, like that. I'm not sure if the chariot he got to keep or if that just came down just for that, because it was, I think, Soma's chariot. I would like to go out and make the kings of the world pay you tribute. Allow me to go north and conquer all those kingdoms. See, because when he goes north, he's not just doing the north that's on this Bharatakanda of the Bharat Varsha. Because Bharat Varsha is one Varsha of nine Varshas on Jambudweep, which is the middle island on the Bhumandala. Right? Bhumandala is very big. And so it has seven islands and seven oceans, right, in rings. And then Jambudweep's right in the middle, surrounded by the salt ocean. Then you have the next one, and it's ocean like this. And so then Meru in the middle is there. So we're on the southern side. So if you take the southern side, you know, and then on the southern side, you're going to you're going to have three Varshas. You know, there's going to be the two and then the one at the end, because it's a circle. There'll be two that'll, you know, slices and then that end part. Then you're going to have the middle where Meru is, so that's one, and then on the two sides there, because that's the widest. Then at the north, it'll be another two and then one at the top. So the top one, that's the northern Kurus. No one goes there. And in between, you have Kimbrusha Varsha and all these different things like that. So these are Varshas that only those who have actually more mystic powers and stuff, they can go there. Those that have the purest, the sages and that, they can move around. You know, the higher, those from higher planets, the Gandharvas and that, the demigods, they can all move to these places. But the humans, we're connected to Bharat Khanda of Bharat Varsha, like that. Okay. Yudhishthira replied, "You have my permission, Dhananjaya. Leave on an auspicious day after receiving the Brahmin's blessings." Because it's not just I have the prowess. It's that they give their blessings, and then your ability with their blessings, that makes things work. Otherwise, on your own, you're not in control of all the potencies. You can use potency, but the point is you're not in control of it. So with the blessings of the Brahmins, then that works very nicely. You will doubtlessly gain victory over all. Arjuna gathered a large number of troops and soon left for the north. Bhima, surrounded by a similar number of men, went east, while Sahadeva went south and Nakula west. Right, so that way then they're going in the four directions, and then they're going, you know, so as far out as the kings go and their influence. Yudhishthira was thrilled at the prospect of soon being able to perform the Rajasuya. So many things would thus be achieved. His noble father would be raised to the highest heaven. The world would be placed firmly on the path of religion, right? Because that's it, because then everybody is then following in Yudhishthira. Krishna would be honored above all others as the Supreme Person, so then he'd establish him in the universe as the Supreme, even among demigods and Brahma and Shiva. And soon the king was consulting Domya and other exalted Brahmins in the kingdom regarding the preparations for the sacrifice. Vyasadeva arrived to further advise the king. Because some of these things, you have to get things from all over the place. You have to get, you know, you have to have the dirt from the top of a mountain, you know, from the two sides of a sacred river, from anthill, you know, because ants, like, they come out of the ground and just, as they dig holes, they put all the dirt outside in little balls like that, so that it's purified. So that dirt is taken because it's perfect. There's no grit or anything in it. Or the termite hills, they're the same thing. They've taken that, but they just make it wet and then they leave it wet and just put it together, while the other ants, they just put it outside. So there's so many things to gain. And so it's not just something you can just go down to the local, you know, 5 and 10, you know, and buy whatever you want. You have to, you know, you have to send qualified people out to go look for all these things. And so now that they've gone out, it means Jarasandha is the biggest obstacle. Now, you know, because the word will get around. Kings have their spies. Everybody knows. So when they hear that the Bhima, you know, on his own, Pandavas defeated Jarasandha, basically everybody else is going to be cool. Right? They don't want to fight with them. Yeah. And then now he'll work out the arrangements, because then Domya and Nat, well, they'll send their people out to get all the ingredients. Then when it's been established that that's like that, then like this, then they can start. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Jai Shri Prabhupada ki.